Look, if you will, this morning, John chapter 1, and we'll begin again in verse 1. Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And we thank you for the person of Jesus Christ and who he is. We thank you that he came to earth to die for us. And that life and a right relationship is found in Christ and no other. And we thank you for all that have gathered. Lord, we pray that each one here knows Christ. And Lord, those that may not, we pray for them. Those who do, we pray, Lord, that you would help our lives to reflect that we do know Christ and make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to finish up the 10 proofs that Jesus Christ is, was, and always has been God. He is God. He is not just the Son of God, he is God. And the Bible gives us 10 proofs here. I'm going to review just a few. The Bible says in verse 1, it says that he has always existed. When it uses the word, it is talking about Christ. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ has always existed. And the Word was with God. And the Greek means that he is a co-equal with God the Father. That they enjoyed fellowship. They are one God, and yet they exist in three distinct persons. And Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, was with God in equal fellowship, equal with him. Goes on to say that he was God. In verse 3, he is called the Creator. He is the one who created everything in the world. He is the Creator. Verse 4 says, "In him was life." Meaning that Jesus Christ is self-existent. Jesus Christ has always been, he has always been God, and in him is life, he needs no other. Which means he has self-existence. You and I depend on God for our life, but not Jesus Christ. He is God and he is self-existent. John the Baptist in verse 6 bore witness of him. Verse 9 says that he lights every man. He is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Two ideas mean that Jesus Christ is God, gave revelation to all people through creation and conscience and the scripture. And then he's the true light. He's the true reflection of who God is when he came into the world. And he came to bear witness of that to show everyone. He was rejected by his own in verses 10 and 11. And then look, if you will, in verse 14. The Bible says this, and John says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Then the scripture says that John says, when we saw him, the Word, that is Christ, became flesh. That means he literally became something he was not. It is God becoming flesh. Jesus Christ as the eternal God, literally became something he was not and wrapped himself up in human flesh, in humanity. To be born of a woman, he is unique. We can't even begin to comprehend how God became flesh, but that's what he did. And they said, when he was on this earth, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father. We saw him. We saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he dwelt. The word dwelt means he tabernacled. He came and he dwelt actually here on earth. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record the miracles of Jesus, the power of Jesus, because there will be no one ever like Jesus ever again because of who he was. He was God coming in human flesh. And part of the reason he did those mighty miracles, part of the reason it was he raised the dead, part of the reason he healed people, he forgave sin. And the Pharisees looked at him and said, "What do you mean you're forgiving sin?" They knew he was claiming to be God. Who can forgive sin but God alone? And Jesus dwelt on this earth, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John captured his life and captured who he was to demonstrate the glory and the majesty of who Jesus Christ was and is. Philippians 2 says that his true deity was veiled in the humanity. They didn't see it fully, but he was God in the flesh. When people talk about different religions today, they're mistaken. They're not different religions. There's only one. And Christianity is not a religion. It is the person of Jesus Christ who claimed to be God, who claimed to be the Savior of the world. And he is the dividing line for all of humanity. There is no other dividing line. Romans 1 says that when people rejected creation, they made up their own kind of gods. And that's what people do. The God of Buddha and Muslim and all the rest, they've made up their own kind of God. There's only one, and it's Christ. And if you don't think it brings controversy today, you let me speak this out over the television and see what happens. It will create tremendous controversy because people are in rebellion against who Jesus Christ really is. Notice what it says. We beheld his glory in verse 14. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Look in verse 18. No man has seen God in any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. People may understand what it means when Jesus Christ is called the only begotten Son. To beget sounds like he's born. You know, he's the only begotten Son means he's born, which that's not what it means. The word only begotten has to do with the one unique, the firstborn. In the Old Testament, the firstborn was the one who had all the rights and all the preeminence and all the blessings. And Jesus Christ is called the only begotten Son, not because he was born, but because he's the Son from all eternity. He's the one unique Son. He's the one who was with the Father from all eternity. And he's the only unique Son of the Father. He's the one equal with the Father, but he's been the Son throughout all eternity. He's the one unique Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That means he gave the one unique person, Christ. The Old Testament is interesting. When Isaac was told to go and offer, when Abraham was told to offer Isaac, and he obeyed, and then God stopped him, and God said, "Now that I know you're willing to offer your only son." Well, he was not the only son. Abraham had other sons. But he was the unique son of promise. When the Bible calls Jesus the only begotten, it means he's the one unique person. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All one God, but existing in three distinct persons. And when he says the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten Son, that's what it's talking about. He is God, and he's the unique relationship with the Father as the Son. He is God and unique. And notice what it says in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The word in the bosom of the Father is a figure of speech, meaning that he had intimate fellowship. He was the one unique one who had intimate fellowship. That going back to verse 1, that the Word was God and the Word was with God. Jesus Christ is the one unique Son, was intimate with the Heavenly Father throughout all eternity. We don't quite comprehend the uniqueness of the Trinity, but that's what the Scripture unveils to us. And the only begotten Son, he was in the bosom of the Father, meaning he uniquely had fellowship with the Heavenly Father throughout all eternity. And when the world began, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were all the Creator. They created the world. And Jesus is that unique one who left heaven and wrapped himself in humanity to die on the cross for our sins. And notice one of his purposes, he says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, the unique Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, that means he's of equal essence. He's equal to God the Father. He hath declared him. And the word means he hath explained him. I tend to tell you something. I don't know everything. There's a lot of questions in life I don't really have an answer for. There's a lot of things that go on that I have to trust by faith like you do. But I'm sure of one thing. I'm sure that I know the personal God of all the universe. Because Jesus Christ is the one unique Son, the one who had fellowship with the Father. When he came in his humanity, he was the one who came to explain God to us. You know, in verse 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The reason the Bible calls Jesus Christ the Word is because through words you and I explain. If I could not speak to you and I could only use sign language, if you didn't know sign language, you would not know what I'm saying today. Words is how I communicate. If I spoke a foreign language to you, French or Spanish or something else, and did not speak English and you did not know that, you would not know what I'm saying. Words are how we communicate. Well, Jesus Christ is called the Word. The reason he's called the Word is because he was the one throughout all eternity who was with the Father, who was God in the flesh, who was God. He came in human flesh so that he could explain God and display God. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're reading the person of Christ, who explains the character of God on our human level. He healed people. He touched people. He felt compassion for people. He felt anger at the self-righteous Pharisees. He rebuked them for their self-righteousness and their appearance of righteousness when in fact they were not righteous. Jesus Christ in his humanity was the explanation. He was the displaying of God in human flesh. And when the Bible says he had declared him, it means he's the one who explained God. You know, folks, listen. The world doesn't know what they're talking about. I got news for you. They're headed on a path that's wrong. They don't know anything. Every once in a while, they may look up and explain something, but as far as eternal things of God, they know nothing. They may use the term Christian in quotes. Did you know 90% of America claims to be Christian? They're not. I do not believe 90% of Americans have had a faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the reason people use that term, you know why? It's because deep down inside they know that's the truth. They know that's the way. They don't claim other religions. They claim to be Christian, which is committed to Christ, which is knowing Jesus Christ. You see, we're not just Baptist, Methodist, or Presbyterians, or all those things. We have disagreements over some issues in the Christian life, but there's one thing we do agree on, and that's who Christ is, and He's the Savior of the world, and He came from heaven to come to this earth so that we could know God and see Him and learn of Him. And that's why He's called the Word. Notice in verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. What he means is, that is, in the person of Christ was the very life of God, the self-existent life of God, and that person was the light that shined on people to show them the way to God. What is the way to God? The way to God is through Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we celebrate Easter, because of who Jesus Christ is. Is. And it is not arrogance to say that we know God if we know Christ. There should be a humility that it is all because of God's grace. It is not because there's something unique in us and something wonderful about us. It's because God reached down to us. We didn't reach up to God. He came to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He came to explain the Lord. He came to display God. I tell you what, folks. There's a boldness and there's a confidence as a Christian, because of the teaching of the Scripture. Because of who Christ is. You see, we may say we're of different denominations, and hopefully we don't trust in those. We trust in the person of Jesus Christ because of who Jesus Christ is. When we read the Gospels and the Holy Spirit makes alive Christ, we are looking at God in human flesh. We're looking at God who came to us. We're looking at God who so loved us. Do not ever think that God doesn't love you. I don't care what may come your way. God, as we preached one Wednesday night, God displayed the greatness of His love when the only one unique Son, Christ, was given, who wrapped Himself in human flesh and went to the cross and took the penalty and the wrath of the Heavenly Father against all sin. And because of that, the Bible says, in this is the love of God. Not that we love God, but that God gave His only begotten Son, His one unique Son. That's the great love of God. Jesus Christ loves you, because before you ever cleaned up, before you ever decided to get right, Christ came for you. Christ, who was God, came and took your place. And took your penalty. And took the wrath of God in your behalf. And what a Christian is one who trusts in what Christ did. My life is in Christ. I'm not perfect. I have not arrived. But my life is in Christ because I trusted in the person of Jesus Christ. Who He is and what He has done in our behalf. And thus we have life. We have all that we need. And Romans 8 says, if God is willing to give His Son, He that spared not His only Son, how much more shall He freely give us all things? The great love of God is that Jesus Christ came. You and I cannot imagine. I don't know what it's like. You and I cannot imagine. In some ways, we could kind of illustrate it by a great king who decided to go and live among his servants. and endure ridicule and suffering, never knowing he was the king of their country. In some small way, we can kind of halfway illustrate that. But you and I cannot comprehend how God, who has been God from all eternity, who is the creator, who has life within himself, voluntarily wrapped himself in human flesh and voluntarily took your place. And the reason he did is because there's no other way for God to forgive. God doesn't forgive just because he loves. God provided Christ because he loves. God forgives because Christ has been punished. And now it is just and fair. Someone's paid the penalty. You see, God is so absolutely holy. Someone's going to pay the price. And the Bible says we're all sinners, and every single person is going to have to pay the price of their sin by being punished everlasting from God. That's the truth. But Christ voluntarily took your place and took your punishment. And when we trusted in him, hallelujah, we're headed for heaven. We're on his side. All is well. I'll never be judged everlasting for my sin. I've already been judged because Christ took my place. You see, it's because of who Jesus is. Don't get confused in the muddleness of the world, in the language of the world, in the glamour of the world and all that they say, and get confused on who this Jesus is and what he did for you. And when you know him, you know God. And you ought to display a little bit of that character of Christ-likeness because of Christ, because of who he is. Verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. Did you know that? Oh, but they saw God in the Old Testament, yes. But they never saw God in his absolute fullness. When you look up and it's a very sunny day, you realize the sun is so far away from us. And yet you cannot look directly at it. You've got to put some sunglasses on because it is so powerful. And yet Jesus just went, beep, and there it was. Put stars out there. There they were. You and I need to realize how lofty and how glorious God is. No man has seen God in his fullness. The only one who came to fully declare him and fully show him is the one unique Son, Jesus Christ. And when you look into the face of Christ, you're looking at a little bit of the face of God. It will not be until we die and leave these earthly bodies that we'll actually see God face to face, but we'll have to be glorified in order to endure the glory and the majesty. You and I, I'm telling you, if one person that you knew came back and just for 5 minutes tried to tell you about heaven, they probably, number one, couldn't. And they couldn't tell you the glory of God. Let me tell you, folks, in this new year, you and I ought to realize how great and how wonderful and how good and how glorious we have it if we know Jesus Christ. It is not the money. It is not the prestige. It is not the earthly glory. It's the person we know. Many people go out into eternity, never known by many people. But if they know Christ, they know the greatest one of all. And I encourage you this new year, keep your eyes looking up. And keep your eyes and your knees down humble and realizing how much God loves you and how great God is to you. You know, there was a song, there was a little verse in the paper this morning in Psalms about. We wish you would praise, men would praise you for how good you are. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian and you know Christ, listen, I don't care if the world falls apart. I don't care if your life falls apart. And it gets so tough. If you know Christ, you know the everlasting God. And by His grace, He will sustain you. By His grace, He will conform you and shape you. And by His grace, He'll take us home. We may be closer than ever. We may not. But hallelujah. If you know Christ, you know the most important person in all the world. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for who Jesus is. We can't fully explain the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but we accept the word as it is, that Jesus Christ is, was, and always been God. He is the Creator. In some way that we can never understand, He came to earth to die for our sins. There is no life apart from Him. It is not of our religion. It's because of knowing Jesus Christ. And I pray this coming year for all of us here today who know Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever we may face, give us a good attitude and a good heart to realize that God is on our side, that you are with us because we know Jesus Christ. Lord, give us humble hearts and give us a submissive spirit to serve the one who so gave himself for us that we would display his glory and pray that others would find him, because if they do not, they've missed it all. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.